Today on Vox Talks, what can we learn from the Wirecard scandal about how to regulate fintechs? Welcome to Vox Talks from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. 2 years ago, Wirecard, a German fintech that was one of the stars of Europe's startup scene, suddenly collapsed. So how can we stop this happening again? A recent report published by the European Parliament think tank has advice on how we can do a better job of oversight for fintechs. Giorgio Barba Navaretti of the University of Milan and the CEPR, of course, and Alberto Pozzolo of Roma Tre University are two of the authors, and they join me today. Giorgio, welcome.
Hello, thank you.
And Alberto, welcome as well.
Hi, team. Thanks for the invitation.
Giorgio, you start us off. Remind us about the scale and the apparent success of Wirecard's business only a few years ago.
Yes, Wirecard was really a global technology and payment system company, which was founded in Germany. It was considered like a German technical champion. It became one of the best performing companies on the German stock exchange. It was interacting with a network of 200 international payment systems. It had 34,000 customers. It was doing transactions in 100 currencies. So it was apparently a very, very mighty and fabulous business. And essentially, there was a lot of support for it, especially in Germany, of course, its home country.
So what caused it to collapse?
Well, essentially, it was found out in 2019 that a large chunk of its business was completely fake, almost non-existent.
Oh, yeah.
So essentially, the accounts had been made up, and essentially 1.9 billion of reserves it had accumulated in a trust account in Asia that were reported in its balance sheets were in fact non-existent. So essentially, the company defaulted. But what is interesting is that since 2015, a lot of red flags had been raised, especially by the FT journalists, that there was something going wrong in Wirecard. And even though Wirecard accounts were audited by Ernst & Young, even though it was partly supervised at least by BaFin, which is the German supervisory authority, essentially these red flags were not picked up. And until 2019, when finally it emerged very clearly that essentially the red flags were really to be taken seriously, there were serious concerns, especially in the Asian business of Wirecard. And so at that moment, it went bankrupt.
Yes. Now, the blame for this, there has been a search for blame in the last couple of years, and that has focused very much on the role of regulators, and BaFin in this case. But how much of its business was actually regulated?
I think it depends on what kind of regulation we have in mind, because if you watch the regulation of the financial activities of Wirecard, there was not much regulation on its financial activities, but rightly so, because on the specific financial activities that it was performing, indeed the regulation was fine. And if we watch at the impact that Wirecard's default had on customers, so in terms of customer protection, everything worked fine. There were essentially no losses for clients, some minor problem of people that couldn't use credit cards for a couple of days, but essentially no losses. And the idea of having regulation on technological activities, on the technology business, as if it was a financial business, probably isn't efficient. So on that point, I wouldn't say that it was wrong. The problem is on the investor protection side. And as Giorgio was saying a moment ago, I mean, that was an accounting fraud. And indeed, the oversight of Wirecard as a major listed company simply failed. It didn't work, and it didn't work pretty badly.
We often talk about fintechs like this as if they are all in the same business. And so as we're searching for better oversight, we're looking for one big answer to the question. Is this oversimplifying?
Yes, Tim, it is oversimplifying because, in fact, what fintech is innovative technologies in financial market. Depending on the type of business, some artificial intelligence and machine learning, if you want. They are very complicated and sophisticated systems, but essentially they are applied to the standard financial activities, payment systems, credit platforms, robo-advisory for the asset management. These are all functions that are played by the so-called fintech with a lot of technology applied to them. But in fact, these are also standard and traditional financial activities, and each of them has the characteristics that they normally have, even if they don't have the technology. And so they should be considered as separate business. And sometimes all these businesses get bundled in one company. I mean, banks normally, traditionally, they bundle a lot of financial activities from payment systems to credit and to deposits, of course, as we all know, even when there are no fintechs. And fintech, sometimes they take just one part of the business. Sometimes they bundle it together, many activities. So it really depends. You should really look at fintechs like as if you were looking at standard financial market and standard financial activities. On top of it, there is a technological device that makes it function as a technology, which of course has some implications in terms of how you gather your clients, how you are able to essentially scrutinize the credit merit of your clients. All these things, of course, can be done through machines, maybe in a different way. But the business is always giving loans to people, making sure payment functions and so on.
Despite the obvious complexity of doing this, you have nevertheless identified some steps to improve the oversight of fintechs. And the first step that you came up with was avoiding regulatory arbitrage. In this market, how does this happen?
Well, it is complicated because there has been a huge debate on whether when you have these complex corporations, you want to regulate the entities or you want to regulate the activities. And of course, in terms of having a level playing field, if you regulate the activities, apparently the level playing field is much more leveled because whatever you do, you have the same regulation. Mm. The risk is that if you do that, you may lose the big picture of what actually the entity's activities. At that point, you need to have a broad picture of the overall risk that is implicit in this activity. And as I was saying before, part of these activities may be technological and they still can imply a risk for the financial side of the activity itself. And for this reason, you want to have a holistic approach. You need to understand what's actually going on and where the risk is. And at that point, you need to target your supervision and your regulation to that specific risk.
Does that imply that we have to understand the business models of these fintechs much better?
Of course, there is no other way of doing it. In the paper, we propose what we call imperatives, and three of them. One is that you need to know the technology. Not just the business model, but also the technology. You need to understand where the technological risk is. Then you need to understand the business model because, of course, firms will try to maximize their profits and possibly, as actually Wirecard was doing, hide some risks. And that is where you need to understand what the firm is doing. So the business model is crucial. And this will give you an understanding of the global picture, which is the third imperative. I mean, I understand it may seem a bit blurred as a description, but the reason is that we are, in terms of regulation and supervision, some kind of a comfort zone. We have learned how to do regulation and supervision of banking activities, but the world is changing. Also, these activities need to change, and it can be done. One of the proposals of the European Commission on the regulation on digital operational resilience for the financial sectors goes exactly in this direction.
You argue that we should be regulating the activity, not the entity, because fintechs like Wirecard, they always do more than one thing, it seems. But does this mean that we're going to end up with many regulators doing the oversight for a single fintech? And obviously that would cause problems about who does what and how you coordinate or pass off these activities between regulators.
No, that would be incredibly complicated, of course, Tim. I think that what happened with Wirecard was a few things. The first one is that part of its activities didn't have much oversight because the company Wirecard was considered a technological company and not a financial company. So it was not directly supervised by BaFin, which is the German financial authority. Now, as Alberto was saying, maybe it's not worthwhile to supervise that activity because essentially you want to also, there are certain kind of activities which are complicated and maybe don't need the full regulation and full supervision. But at the same time, it's clear that these activities are strictly interconnected to the overall functioning of Wirecard and what also the financial activities of Wirecard. Somehow that part was not adequately supervised. It may have caused some problems. So there you have a company that provides technological services on the one hand and financial services on the other. And of course, you need to oversee both of these activities, if you wish, and understand how they're interconnected. And this was not probably done adequately. So that would call for really supervising entities, which is what it's done traditionally. But of course, supervising entity means supervising entities in all what they do, not just one thing. On the other hand, you don't want different companies which are doing the same thing, some of them being regulated and some not being regulated. Okay. So in that sense, you also have to have an activity perspective, in the sense that if you're doing credit, you want all credit institutions being regulated, supervised, regulated, whether they do it through fintech or whether they do it directly. Okay. So if you see, you have a crossroad between entities and activities that it's really complicated. What we need is really to have more coordination among existing regulators who are really able to understand deeply the type of business that companies are doing, the technology, and the international scope of their activities, as Alberto was saying, and therefore they can really be effective in understanding what's going on. I mean, in the case of Wirecard, there are two issues that are important to remember. The first one is that the fact that it was a fintech, okay, if you want, created a sort of a veil of ignorance, blind faith in the ability of the technology in doing things rightly, and so no one was really considering and trying to understand what this technology was doing. And in fact, the business was a simple business, was a payment system, which is a standard business that's well known by financial regulators. So, the oversight should have been accurate anyway, even if it was done through artificial intelligence and machine. The other thing that we need to understand is that essentially Wirecard was operating through many different markets. So it was operating in many different countries, and there was no coordination among regulators.
Is part of the solution to this to draw aside that veil of ignorance, as you called it, for whoever is doing the supervisory activity to understand more about the innovation that fintechs are performing?
Yes. One thing that I want to add with respect to what I said before is that indeed you asked me whether there was a blame on regulators for what happened with Wirecard, and I told you that customer protection worked. What I want to say is that it worked in that case, and we might have been also relatively lucky that it worked, because in a different situation, it might also have failed. And instead of having just a few people that couldn't use their credit card for a few days, the problem could have been much, much bigger than that. So I'm not saying that there is not the problem there. I'm saying that this time, for a number of reasons, the problem for customers was not so big. In terms of understanding the innovation, that is crucial. But one thing that I would like to add is that luckily, technology can also help us on supervising and oversighting this kind of companies. Mm-hmm. We need to understand the technology and the business models, as we said before, but we can also use artificial intelligence and big data analytics for regulatory and supervisory purposes. There is activities that are called RegTech, so regulation technology, that imply that we can use the technology to ask financial intermediaries and corporations alike to report to financial authorities in standardized, automated ways. And this substitutes ad hoc templates, manual activities, and of course makes regulation and supervision much, much more efficient. And we can also go one step further than that. SupTech, supervisory technologies, can also use machine learning, artificial intelligence, to detect anomalous patterns in what's happening. And of course, this can help identifying misconducts and hidden risks. One thing that we've learned with Wirecard is that if you watch the business model, their business model, the level of profits that we are making was absolutely inconsistent with the level of profits that could be made in that specific sector of economic activity. Yes. Probably we didn't need an artificial intelligence to spot that in this case. In some other cases where it's slightly more complicated, artificial intelligence might help you to identify these patterns. So it's somehow good news, but we cannot still live in this comfort zone of the way in which we carried on our supervisory activities in the last decades, because the world has changed.
As you mentioned, fintechs are global. They talk about being born global, and regulatory regimes, for good reasons, tend to stop at national borders. Can we do anything about that?
We certainly need to do something because, as Georgia was saying, some of the accounts that Wirecard claimed to have in East Asia were simply non-existent. Mm. Now, it's been difficult to dig out what was happening. The Financial Times actually did it in the end, and not much of the information came from regulatory authorities. In principle, it wouldn't have been that difficult to have a coordination among regulatory authorities in different countries and go and check whether when you claim that you have a bank account somewhere, it is actually there or not. But then, of course, this is true in principle. That in practice, there are lots of political issues. There is also this idea that if you are a bit more lax on regulation, you can help your national champions to grow and so on and so forth. At the world level, it is more complicated, but we have supranational institutions that actually can do something. We have the FSB, we have G20s and so on and so forth. At the European level, a lot can be done. And I think we have already shown that at the European level, we can harmonize and even centralize some activities, and we have some best practices in doing so. So I think that this is possible and should be done at the European level. And actually, I think it is partly the direction that also the European Commission is suggesting. The digital finance package goes pretty much in this direction.
What do you think should be done at the European level? Do we give the existing regulators more powers, or do you establish an entirely new European regulator for fintechs? What's it practical to do?
So what I think is that you should not have a different set of supervisors for fintech, because that would create a useless duplication and would make very difficult avoiding the arbitrage that we were discussing before between different companies doing the same thing. What, of course, you need is more coordination and a more integrated supervisory approach, certainly within Europe, similar to the one we had for the banking union. We need to make sure that the actual regulators are able to understand the complexities of fintech in order not to be overwhelmed by them, but to be able to keep always in mind what is the real business and the real activities that these fintechs are doing, that, again, it's standard financial transaction in a different way. So they do not have to be, as I said before, made blind by this sort of veil of ignorance created by the technological complexity. They have to go beyond that. So the first thing is understanding the technology. The second thing is, Alberto was saying before, knowing the business, understanding the business. Again, back to Wirecard, if the business of Wirecard was well understood, probably most of the profits that Wirecard was claiming to be making would have been detected as possibly fake. Okay? And finally, as I said before, we need more international coordination. This is also important, besides for the fact that these companies have activities overall and therefore they need to be all supervised in many different countries within a similar framework. The other issue is that frequently supervisors get captured by these companies. The Wirecard example is typical of this. BaFin in February 2019 essentially accepted the view that, if you want, the shares of Wirecard were plummeting, were going down simply because there were a lot of speculators doing short selling instead of picking up the red flags that had been raised. And even they raised a criminal investigation on the FT journalist that had raised red flags. It's a typical example of a capture that maybe would not have happened if there were either European authority or more coordination among different authorities.
Plenty of warnings with hindsight that we could have picked up on. That means there are plenty of lessons for the future. And thanks for going into them today. Georgia, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And Alberto, thank you as well.
Thank you, Tim.
If you want to read more about this, then the original paper is called What Are the Wider Supervisory Implications of the Wirecard Case? And that was produced for the European Parliament think tank, and the authors are Giorgio Barba Navaretti, Giacomo Cazzalari, and Alberto Pozzolo. And if you want to read this on VoxEU, same authors produced an article called Regulating Fintech in Europe: Lessons from the Collapse of Wirecard. This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. We bring you the most innovative economic research every week, so subscribe to Vox Talks, you never miss an episode. And remember, there are 12 years of Vox Talks at voxeu.org/vox-talks.